we went over good reasons to be in a relationship, okay? Usually when I teach this, I always begin with the bad reasons first to be in a relationship, and then good reasons, okay? But I decided to switch it around because I know I've been emphasizing so much of singleness. I don't want anywhere you guys think that I want you guys all to be monks. You guys realize that? I want you guys to be, go to be godly men, to be godly wife. Husband, and godly what? Fathers. Yeah. I want to be able to marry you guys and bury you guys, okay? And I want you guys to be married because it strengthens the church, okay? It strengthens
the church. Well, that question, I have a problem because my girlfriend wants to, you know, like, yeah, her pastor to marry her and me or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, I don't
know. You know, we'll talk some more. Yeah, we'll talk some more later, okay? Yeah, that's jumping ahead. That's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was like,
yeah,
wondering,
that,
like,
yeah, yeah, let's go back.
Pastor,
yeah,
hey,
relax, calm down. To the, relax the mat, okay? Yeah, okay? But, yeah, today we'll go over, we went over good reasons to be in a relationship. Now we will look at bad reasons. Because are there bad reasons people pursue relationship? What are some bad reasons before we even go any further? What are some bad reasons people are in a relationship? Josh?
Narcissism.
Narcissism. Good. Okay. People, some people are narcissistic. Okay, good. What are some bad reasons, Anthony?
Monetary reasons.
Monetary reasons. Okay.
Married to a richer family.
Okay, yeah, okay. As like crazy rich, was it the
Asians?
Why would I be a poor Asian? Go watch a movie called Crazy Rich Asians, okay? You know, they repent. But anyways,
I took my dad to go watch that too.
And you repent, okay? So anything else?
What are some other
things? Huh? You rush into the things? Okay, yeah. You. But why would you rush into things? What are some reasons why? Narcissism, right? Financial reasons, okay. Or financing. Okay.
People are lonely. They want.
Lonely. Okay. Yeah.
And that, in those sense, it could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. There could be greater than wanting to follow God, right? Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So
hey, there's one more reason.
What?
What if you find out the person is mentally unstable?
Yeah. Okay.
Then you won't.
Yeah. That's
the person that comes to church with you.
Yeah. Get saved. Okay. So let's go back on with this, okay? So there's bad reasons to be in a relationship. And remember what we talked about last time. Even the good reasons could become bad reasons very easily if it's always above what? Christ, okay? So if you're looking at the outline, now we're departing from singleness and entering our studies now talking about relationship and courtship, okay? But we're looking today at bad reasons. And note of clarification, some of the bad reasons for relationship are not wrong in of itself. In of itself, by itself, it's not wrong. Like, for instance, Mr. Burton mentioned loneliness. Sometimes people are lonely, and marriage is a good thing, God's natural remedy for dealing with loneliness, okay? However, that could also become a problem if it's above what? God. Does that make sense? Okay? So these reasons, good reasons could become bad reasons if the priority of relationship is above what? Glorifying God, okay? If the priority for a relationship is above glorifying God, okay? So note the right. If you guys look at the picture, you guys have the outlines for tonight. Do you guys see that? Okay. Note the right versus the left in the diagram. Okay, of right and wrong priorities and why one want to have a relationship. For instance,
the left has God at the top. Yeah. The right has God at the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. So is this which one is the right way in terms of reasons of being in a relationship? Which one is something that God would be pleased with?
God at the top?
Yeah, which one is that? Left or right?
Left.
Anthony, which one is the wrong one?
The right one.
The angle right one, okay? Or the side one, okay? Because the first one you see, or we'll say first and second one, so it won't be confusing, okay? The first one you put as priority is God. Then the second one is companionship, okay? And then you could, whatever else you put underneath there, okay? But notice the other one, it is what? You put romance first. Okay, some dream of romanticism, okay? Then what other people think, you think, oh, well, I don't want people to make fun of me that I'm an old lady who live with cats, right? Or a guy, you don't want people to think, oh, you're lonely, okay? Or you're a weirdo, okay? So, but if that's above God, would that become a problem? Yes, okay? You will want anybody, even if they're hairy, even if they're scary. You feeling me? Okay?
Yeah.
By the way, nothing wrong with hairy, okay? But my point is, if it's something that's ungodly, does that make sense? Okay. Listen, you don't want to be in a relationship with anyone that is what? Lazy?
Right.
Yeah.
crazy or straight up going to Hades, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down that road, okay?
Yeah.
You don't want to go down the road. You will choose someone that's lazy, crazy, and straight up going to Hades if you don't have your priorities right with God, okay? By the way, I do believe relationship, the quality of the relationship depends so much on your walk with God. You might say, well, no, it doesn't. But I'm trying to pursue God, and the relationship is that, well, yes, that's true. But your heart condition will dictate how you handle, okay? By the way, part of the Christian life, the thing that we're always constantly learning for the rest of our life is always depending upon what? God for joy rather than our circumstance, okay?
Yeah.
And that will impact your circumstance also as well.
Hey, one more question.
Okay. Go ahead.
What if they're communist? Is that another reason not to...
Yeah, you never marry a communist, okay? In Andrew's church... Andrew will church discipline somebody that will marry
like
a communist.
The
okay?
North Koreans or a Russian person.
Because Communist Party, to join the Communist Party, you have to disavow the church. By the way, Andrew's church have people that are in the Communist Party that got saved. And they're forcing, the government now is forcing more, because they know who goes to church, are putting more pressure for Communist Party members and companies to leave the thing. So I know we talk about, you're probably thinking a joke, but Andrew's church, people are willing to leave that. But by the way, when they leave the party, it's like in America, who wants to reject your citizenship? You're almost like, what's wrong with you? Even if you don't like it, you don't go out of the way to fully reject it. That causes more problems, actually, over there. It'll be like, what's wrong with you? Then you're skylining, okay? So you realize in some part of the world, being a Christian is not easy. You understand me?
It's not.
Yeah, it is not, okay? When I was overseas, one of the translators, Father, was actually a governor of a province in China. Okay? It's one of the historic provinces and everything else. But that person, the father, will not choose Christ. Because he says, yeah, you know, Christianity sounds reasonable, but if I do, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get straight up in trouble with things. Maybe if I, you know, get retired and stuff like that, right? But the mom and the son follow who? Jesus Christ, okay? And they're willing to give up their membership for the sake of following Christ. So you guys understand that we live in a great country, okay, that allows religious freedoms, okay? By the way, leading the Communist Party, not Costco membership, some of us, you know, feel that that's a burden, a cross to carry, but over there is that, right? By the way, he needs it for his job, okay? He needs that for his job, okay? So let's go back on. So we need to have the right order, okay? Let me say this a little bit about the right order of things. As you go over some of these, you might say, Jimmy, no, that's a good reason. But remember, it's the wrong reason if it's above God, out of priority, okay? So anytime we have anything above God, what does that thing become? Our functional God, okay?
Yeah.
It's the thing we're trying to serve. It's the thing we believe that pleases. Now, we as Christians should love God, okay? I love God. I serve God. I love Him so much, I serve Him. I'm willing to die for Him, okay? But at the same time, if your God is not God, the God of the Bible is not your God. It's not as if you don't have a God. You do have a functional God. Whatever that is your idol. You're trying to please it. You're trying to worship it. You think about it all day. You daydream about it. All these things. And you're trying to, and you believe the lie that that thing will satisfy you like nothing else would. But will that thing truly satisfy you?
No.
Okay, it's like drinking salt water, right? You think at first, oh, drink salt water is going to satisfy you? No. You drink more and more, right? And end up being what? And never satisfied, you go from extreme love of it to extreme what? Hate of it. Okay, disdain of it. Okay? And then that brings out other things. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21. So idols is a thing that we need to really be aware of, okay? With relationship. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 verse 21. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21. Anthony, with big boy, motivated voice, would you be able to read me 1 John 5, 21?
First John chapter 5?
Yes, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21.
Little children, yourself alone.
Yeah, little children. You're using NIV?
ESV.
ESV, okay. Keep your children from idols, okay?
I got another translation.
I prefer probably your translation. Go ahead, Josh.
Little children, guard yourselves from idols.
Yes, okay. I like that because it's the idea of discernment, of guarding, okay? So I want to make an observation. Who wrote this? 1 John 5:21. Who wrote this?
John.
John. Which John?
John. John.
John. John. Not John Burton. Okay.
John.
Who's John? John.
Right.
The disciples Jesus loved. Okay, good. Okay, not John the Baptist. Okay,
not John,
but John.
But John 5:21.
Yeah. Okay. It says there, little children, guard yourself from. Now, I want to draw some application from this. Okay, before we go on over about bad reasons to be in relationship. Okay, reasons to be in relationship. First thing we would notice here when you look at 1 John 5:21 is this is taking place during the New Testament, and yet he says guard your heart from what? Guard yourself from idols, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, now, if you read this verse in the Old Testament, you and I would probably say, oh, of course we expect that, because did the Hebrews, did Israel have a hard time dealing with idols?
Mm.
Did they have a hard time dealing with idols?
Yes.
Yeah, constantly, right? So much that God finally went, disciplined them, kicked them out of what?
Right.
Israel, okay? But by the time we get to the New Testament, did Israel suffer with a problem of pursuing actual physical, pagan, polytheistic idols? Do you see that? Do you see the Pharisees believe in one God or multiple gods?
One God.
One God, okay? Did the Sadducees go after one God or many gods? One God, okay? All the Jews at this time period, which is incredible, because for thousands of years they did not. Finally, before Jesus came, they finally got that down, right? That there's only one God. But notice in the New Testament, here in the New Testament era, it's like you wouldn't expect this. Guard yourself from idols. Because most of the people, if you ask them at that time period in the church, and also in Israel, what would they say? They say, how many gods? What would there have to be? What would there have to be? One God, right? Do you think in their house they actually have a idol to Buddha or Amitofo or any of that type of crazy jazz? Negative, Ghost Rider, right? Okay? Negative, they won't. But why would it say here, guard yourself from idols? Because guess what? Our heart is so sinful. We manufacture idols, even if we don't have idols at home.
Mm.
Yeah, we have like an idol display case we bow down to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think this shows that even for us as Christians, right? Even today, all of us, myself included, could easily make idols out of something. Okay? Maybe we don't have a little Buddha belly thing that we rub, okay? But maybe we don't have that, but we still have something above what? God. So that's, I think, sobering to realize this is New Testament church he's speaking. By the way, what does he call them? The first two letters of verse 21 says what? The first two letters says what? 1 John 5:21. First two words, I mean, says what, Caleb?
Yeah.
The first two words of 1 John 5:21 says what?
Little children.
Little children, okay?
Little
does, when he says this, what does it mean? He's talking to who? People that he loves, yes? He's talking to Christians. By the way, 1 John 5:13 is the purpose of 1 John. He's saying is to make sure you guys know you're saved. But he's also confident that they are true Christians. But if we know we have confidence we're true Christians, that bears a lot of fruit, okay? 1 John 5:13 here says that, okay? But here, I think the reality is this. Sometimes as Christians, we could know in our theology, in our head, that there's only one God. We shouldn't have anything else. But sometimes in our heart, in our emotions, in what we practically live out, do we struggle with having idols in our lives? Yes, okay? And of course, the rest of our life, we'll be struggling before we go to heaven to make sure that our theology on paper matches the theology in our, what, hearts. Does that make sense? Okay? So in light of this, now we go on, because of this, there's bad reasons for relationship. All those things are idols. You had a question?
So what? So, yeah, we have idols in relationship.
Does our relationship become an idol? Yeah, we would have a relationship with the idol. Or lack of relationship.
Does the relationship also become an
idol? I-D-L-E?
No, as in we start idolizing the relationship.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we're so simple, we could even idealize relationship itself too. Okay. Some people, by the way, get in relationship, they don't love the person. We'll talk about that later on. They just like the idea of relationship, okay? They just want to be chick flick incarnate, okay? In the flesh, okay? But we'll talk about that. So we're going to go over bad reasons, okay? By the way, this is not targeted anyone. This has already been planned for a while, okay? But I think it's good for us to know if these are bad relationship, bad reasons for relationship. First and foremost, bad reason number one is the other person is a person's idol, okay? This is one of the reasons why you don't want to be in a relationship is if you idolize somebody, okay? Let's just say, going back to when I was... A Joe Smuck, a yo-yo. I have 22 at PCC, 21. Okay, I've never been in any relationship. Then I met... Who did I meet? Nancy, okay? Nancy's the only person I've ever been in a relationship with, okay? Mm. But in that, when I go up to... Let's just say she becomes my idol. Like, I want to be with her more than anything else.
Right.
Above God. Okay? By the way, during that time period before that, leading up to that, in my heart, during that time, you know, we all kind of want to be in a relationship, right? When you're single, you think about it. But I remember at that point thinking, like, you know what? I want to be with God first. I want to serve God first. That if God, you don't bring anybody to me in my life, I'm okay with that. And I need to learn that you are sufficient. So I'm okay with that, okay? I'm okay with that, okay? Maybe this is too personal. I know my wife walked out. Before that, there was a time I was actually interested in the president of the Christian club in PCC. I'm so glad I did not end up with that person, because that person later on went to become a real estate fraud person and ended up being a fugitive. If you go to LAPD website, there's a face of her. And I look back, it's like, God is sovereign, okay? You do things, what? God's way, okay? I don't even want to talk about it. That's like shameful stuff, okay? But let's go back on. Do things God's way, okay? Then I realized after, you know what? I want to choose God first. No matter what, even if it's, if I'm going to be single like a Pringle for the rest of my days, I can't be treating single as a shingles. You feeling me? Okay? So, shingles. Medical condition. Wikipedia later, okay?
Are you still rhyming?
Yeah. But I'll keep my day job being a pastor first, not a rapper, okay? So,
it's kind of weird, like...
So, this is a common... This is a common one, right? This is a common idol people have, right? Where they're searching for that person instead of God. Instead of God, okay? Where they're searching for something else for God instead of God, okay? Matthew 6:24. This is what the Word of God says. Turn to Matthew 6:24. Joshua, wait, real quick. Could I have... this? Peter, would you read Matthew 6:24?
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay. So, here it makes it clear that could we have more than two masters? No, okay.
No.
What would happen to one of them?
You'll hate one.
You'll hate one, right? And then the other one you'll love.
Right.
You know what always blows my mind away when I read this verse? Is that I think, because I'm so Americanized, I'm so independent, individually minded, I think you will hate both, right? But then it says, it didn't say that. One you will hate and the other you will love, okay? You want to know who's your God in your life? Is look at what is the thing you love the most. You love it so much you're willing to serve it, okay? And you think that will give you joy by serving it, okay? I do believe serving God gives me joy. But then I also see sometimes in church some people serve and it's like the worst thing possible. Right, it's like the worst thing they ever want to be is that church serving. But it's also because I love God. Does that make sense? I love Him and He's my God. That's why there's joy. Okay. So in light of this, if you idolize someone above God, that person will be your master, right? More than God. Then you will, secondly, you will what? Ultimately, you will hate God. You'll feel like, oh, God's getting in the way in my relationship with that person. Or pursuing. So that's not even a relationship, or the idea of pursuing that person in a relationship, okay? Ultimately, you'll hate God and you will serve that person, or sometimes even the fantasy of that person. Not that you ever was in a relationship, maybe sometimes it's just the idea of who that person is. So much that, because you think that, oh, I hate God, I don't like God, because He's getting away, removing me from this thing, this person, who give me the greatest joy in my life, okay? When you serve that person as your chief source of joy, don't be surprised though, you'll be what? Disappointed, okay? Because the only one that will truly satisfy is who? Is God, okay? The only one that truly satisfy will be what? God, okay? Because the other person, if you make them try to become a goddess, because I know we're all guys here right now, right? If you make that person a goddess, will you be disappointed?
Yeah.
Big time, okay? So how do you know, I want to go to the next point, like, interpreting this biblically, but I also want to have a diagnostic question and say, how do you know this is an idol? How do you know specifically that you're idolizing someone is why you want a relationship, okay? First and foremost, you really don't know that person, and you spend more time imagining what that person is like rather than really know who they are, okay? This, I think, is especially true for those that, like, look at, you know, sometimes as a pastor, I hate to say this, okay? I really hate to say this, But I think I need to say this. This has happened before, where someone told me and Pastor Andrew, "Hey Jimmy, this person I'm interested in, and that person is really interested in me." And that person, the other gender, actually contacted me and said, "You know what? I know you're in this. He goes to your church, but this person is creeping me out so much that I need your help as a pastor to let this person know that no." And I've said this so many times. And this person is like, no. I want it. This person is like paying attention. You know, the person could be like looking away and they'll be like, "Hey, Jimmy, look, he's looking at me." He's like, "Oh, huh? The person's looking away." Right? Actually, it gets even more complicated in this case. I think we had a lot of drama when we were younger, okay?
Did we have a lot of drama?
Maybe not for you, but as a church overall, okay?
I remember there was something, but I couldn't tell what was going on.
Yeah, okay, maybe it was good, okay? But that person came to our church to visit, but that person's like, "Hey, look at me." But that person came for somebody else, okay? That's another story, another time, another triangle pyramid thing, okay? But I bring this to say that how do you know sometimes in those kind of cases, is you, how do you know that person's an idol? Is sometimes it's not just you like that person, but you imagine what that person is supposed to be like. You sit there all day, daydreaming at work, twiddling with your drafting thing or whatever else, and thinking, "Whoa, like this is the awesome person ever, right?" And then everything else, you tell me everything else, and I'm like, this is not true of this person. Okay? So that's when you know you idolize that, okay? Secondly, you spend more time thinking about them than you do about the things of God, okay? What you do in your spare time really reveals your heart, okay? If you spend more time playing Fortnite, guess what? We now know what you love more than God, okay? Okay? We now know what your God is, okay? But rather, instead, if you spend more time with the Word of God, okay? You know, I've always been kind of challenged. Is sometimes people tell me, like, "Oh, devotional life is 5 minutes." But I don't know if the Word of God ever, you see people's devotional life is just 5 minutes. It sounds too much like a microwave religion, right? Like put like a ramen religion. Pour hot water, 2 or 3 minutes, and it'll grow. Bada bing, right? Korean, whatever, you know, ramen. But I don't know if that's, you know, and then you have something spicy at the liver. I don't know if that's Christian life. I think the Christian life is, it's more like a cow. You know, cow has 4 stomachs. You regurgitate up, and you eat it again and again, okay? You're throughout the day meditating on the truth of God, constantly throughout the day, being read. I don't know about you. I actually cannot survive on our daily bread. You know those daily bread devotions? Now, if you do that, God bless you. But I can't do that just alone, okay? I feel like I'm going to become like spiritually anorexic. You feel me? Okay? I need a T-bone steak to love Jesus Christ. You feel me? Okay? Not because I love just the theology, but I need to say, man, what is it so I love you so much, okay? That will make me love you, okay? So if you daydream more about this person more than you do anything else, that might reveal it's an idol, okay? Another thing.
Movies.
What movies?
Daydreaming about movies.
And that's your idol. You gotta repent, okay? And not be fantasizing crazy rich Asian, okay? So.
What about, like, Star Wars?
By the way, if I could say this, I know this is on sermon audio, I don't understand this whole thing of the whole ethnic thing that we're playing with that, because that guy's not even full, right? They're always dissing Hollywood. It's like, "Oh, Hollywood, we need to have Asian, you know, Asian masculinity." By the way, I feel very comfortable with my masculinity, okay?
Nice,
just
like,
don't be a Pam.
Crazy,
you know,
what about Star Wars?
You could love it, all things, there's liberty, but don't idolize it, okay?
Okay.
Let's go back on. Okay. You spend more time thinking about... another way to diagnose this is when you think more about the other person more than God, when you find more satisfaction in that person's company or thinking about the person than you do being in the presence of God or thinking about them, okay? You're more bored spiritually, you know, talking about the things of God or at church versus just being before a presence. I think there's something really seriously wrong. Dangerous. I would say actually dangerous too, okay? You daydream about the other person and it's affecting your ability to fulfill your responsibility, okay? If you're not able to do your schoolwork, you're not able to do your work, you're not able to fulfill basic responsibility of life, that might be a problem, okay? By the way, that easily leads to depression too, okay? Which will be another topic another time, okay? So in practice, you need to remove this idol, okay? That the person has an idol. To remove this idol, if you're following along, requires that... You need to know that person is not perfect, but God is perfect. You need to know that person will disappoint, okay? Nancy knows I'm a sinner. I don't think Nancy idolized me, because she knows I'm a wretched sinner. I think I'm a more sinner than her, okay? I think she serves me more than I serve her. You know, how do I know that? I just sit there, sometimes studying so deeply, and somehow I'm drinking tea. I'm like, whoa, where, I didn't go make tea. It, you know, she made that, okay? Truth be told, I think she'll get more crowns in heaven than I do, because she served me when I have her. And I was really convicted this last trip overseas, was thinking, hey, I need to make it where I serve her more than it's about me serving. She's being real. Confession. Sorry, no. Okay? So you need to realize that person is not perfect, and by the way, you will not be perfect also as well. And let this sink in, second part of the application. If you make someone a functional idol, you eventually find out that he or she will not fulfill your expectation, and you will hate them, and you might have the possibility of hurting them. Okay? By the way, I made this outline many years ago. Okay? This outline was made many years ago, back in the day. If you go to Joshua's house, some of those outlines are still there. Okay? But I'm going over this, I'm tinkering this to make this better. I realize I've grown a lot since 10 years ago, the last time I taught in a relationship. Okay? I've grown more as a preacher and as a Christian, more importantly. Okay? So my outline has been more smoothed out with the bad grammar, things like that. Okay? Bad reason number two. So if the first bad reason is what? What's the first bad reason, guys? You idolize that person.
Right.
Second bad reason to be in a relationship is when one has to have romance for romance sake. Okay? Believe it or not, sometimes people want to be in a relationship. It's not even that person, but it's to be, to have romance itself. Okay? They idolize relationship for relationship's own sake, image itself. Okay? Like again, what I'm describing here is the phenomenon when one is more in love with the concept of love rather than loving a person. Okay? But is this right? No. Because scripture makes it clear that this is selfish and contrary to the spirit of love. Okay? So you're now being with somebody, but not really to love them, but it's really for your own narcissistic thing of the idea of being in love rather than loving them. Which goes against scripture, because scripture is love selfish. 1 Corinthians 12:5 says what? It does not seek its own. Okay? By the way, love does not seek its own. Okay? Love does not seek its own. I also think sometimes when you discover that a relationship don't work out, it's sometimes the most loving thing you can do for that other person is to what? To let, make it, say, you know what? I'm not going to call you anymore. I'm not going to text you anymore. I'm not, just so that you can move on. And it's not meant to be. I don't want you to lead you on. Okay? Is that biblical love? Yeah. Because your does not seek its own. You're not saying, oh, I want this person around just to be in the friend zone, just so it could, OMG, so I have somebody in a relationship. Like, it don't be some crazy valley girl narcissist where you need that, you know? By the way, don't also be those guys that are just friend zone. You know what I'm talking about? Nancy always laughs because I always say it's vultures, right? Some guys are such pams. Passive Asian males, where you're just standing there, like, oh, I'm just going to be friends with them and here at them. How's your relationship? Are, I always call that vulture, because it's almost like, you know, I don't know why girls do that, right? Where they have two or three guys kind of floating and they talk about the relationship, but as soon as relationships are over, they say, oh, can we be in a relationship? And then they get hurt because, and the girls say, no, I've always just seen you as a friend, right? But they're just vulture. They're waiting for the carcass of a dead relationship to pick up the leftovers, right? Man, I don't want to be someone's leftover, right? But some people are just weird, wacko yo-yos like that, okay? Now listen, brothers and sisters, you don't want to be that, okay? Going back on, you don't want to, love does not seek its own, okay? So you don't want to pursue a relationship and say, oh, whoever the referent is, whoever is relationship, it don't matter, just so long as I get to pursue this, okay? Some people are sick, they just want to live out crazy rich Asian, right? Why would I be a poor Asian support something like that, okay? Some people are what? Just want the idea for a relationship with that, okay? But you know what? That's not biblical, okay? Turn with me to Proverbs 27, verse 20. Proverbs 27, verse 20. Any volunteer want to read Proverbs 27, verse 20? Go ahead, Josh.
Children of Adam are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. The principle is for silver, and the furnace is for gold. And it is tested by the praise for the test.
Okay. Proverbs 27. I think the second part I want to emphasize, where it says, the eyes of man, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. Okay? This will make So the relationship that I described earlier, when you want to seek relationship for the sake of romanticizing, idolizing relationship, this will always make one move from one relationship to another. You know why? Because it does not satisfy. That person does not fit your narrative. So you go what? Cut them out and find another substitute. Do that again, cut it out, and move to another, right? But does that truly satisfy?
No.
Does that truly satisfy?
No.
Okay? That would not satisfy at all, okay? Realize this ends up being a very self-destructive lifestyle, where one is always lusting for more, but you'll never be content. So how do you know this is an idol in your life? It is, number one, you move from one relationship to another all the time, okay? You can't stand the idea of not being in a relationship at all. You have to find anybody, right? Any, what? John, Dick, or Harry. Even if they're, what? Frightening, hairy, and scary, okay? So, you move from one relationship all the time, okay? Secondly, your best part of any courtship is always the beginning, okay? Because that's where the romance, the fiction, romantic fiction could easily be written before you're hit square with the reality of relationship is difficult because you were sinning, okay? So if you realize that your best part of relationship is the courtship, is the beginning part, there's something wrong, okay? By the way, you could also see this because some people's relationship, you can see the diagnosis is because of this. Every relationship they're at, they always say, oh, I wish we could go back to those days, the early days, right? But the reality is this, I talked to Nancy, you know, I asked Nancy, do you want to go back to the day we were dating? And you know what's my answer? You know what's her answer? Do I really want to go back to the days I'm dating? No, okay? I actually do not want to go back. I actually love my relationship with my wife now more. 8 years into the marriage, okay? Yeah, with kids, everything else too. Because there's so much more that we've grown in love, okay? But some people's idea of romance is what? Oh, we gotta always still have that date. By the way, you know, sometimes the world's solution to relationship always creep into the church. How many marriage seminars that are supposedly Christian, their first solution is going on a date? Now, I'm not going against date, but that's a rubber band. Band-aid solution. The Bible never says go on dates. Could you imagine Joseph and Mary? Like, Jesus is their marriage counselor. You know, young baby Jesus, the marriage counselor of marriage. Oh, go on dates, you know. Don't worry, I'll babysit the rest of the kids, right? Or, like, the Bible never really gives that. You guys realize that's a very American Western phenomenon? The idea of dates? Right? Back then, I don't know how often they go out to eat restaurants. You guys realize that? I don't know if Mary and Joseph went out to In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. You know, you feeling me?
Yeah.
I think cheeseburgers are kind of like go against the dietary laws of the old.
How was it in the 80s? Like, yeah. The married couple, they were like leave the kids and then they
yeah. But let me nuance that. Okay, I'm not against it. Okay. If you guys do that, more power to you. That's good. But I want to say that it's not the main thing for fixing relationship. Okay? That might help. That might be a rubber band at times. That might... By the way, if it's a good conversation, that's good.
Sure.
But in of itself, what I'm trying to say is don't think we need more date nights.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, honey, do I look fat on this? And then it's like, you know, then all of a sudden, yeah, no. And then it's, therefore it's great. Okay? But what I'm trying to say is actually it's a rubber band. Mm-hmm. Not a rubber band. Band-aid sometimes. Because it's the biblical, and that's not in every culture, okay? I cannot go to Nepal and say, hey, you know what, for good marriages, why don't you guys eat out? Oh, so look at the, this is a rural area, some of those guys. Where do they eat out at? Their neighbor? Right? What are you talking, you know? So, you know, so realize you got to go deeper than that, okay? So, if you romanticize only the beginning of the relationship, if you are saying, let me go back to the good old days when Nancy and I used to go to Cafe Salah in El Monte, right? 97032, whatever else, right?
Yeah.
You know, who cares about 91020, whatever, Beverly Hills? But
yeah.
You know, if that's the way you did it, then guess what? You idolize probably romance instead of that, okay? Third thing, you read a lot of romance novels and inappropriate writings, you know? I used to be hard on guys, you know? I think at church...
Because that's how the relationship was back in those 80s.
Yeah, let's go back on. Yeah, let's go back to the 2000s and 10s, 18s, okay? With that is also, with this point, is you read a lot of romance novels and inappropriate things. That's me, because... Now, I know in our church, my sister one time told me, like, man, you know what? Jimmy, it might be good to stop calling single guys yo-yos. And stop using the line of you know, single like a Pringle. Because that kind of hurts for the guys, you know. But then, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. You know, Julie, I don't know if I'll be a softer, gentler, kinder, new kind of pastor of a day and age where pastors don't have pulpits, but have like a bar stool and sit down and like there for you guys. You know, I don't know. But that doesn't mean I won't be there for you guys, right? But I want to say this also as well. I used to be hard on guys with pornography. And pornography is wicked. It's very wicked.
Yeah.
But then I discovered, whoa, hey, girls have a lot of problems too. Sometimes just sitting there at PCC, you know, just because I feel I need to do this in order to love people. Sometimes just sit outside PCC, right, the library, just see people going in. You know, the immigrant student that's just trying to get by, Chinese immigrants, the girl that's like just sweet down, like OMG, whatever else, right? But just listen, just like, right? Just, you know, and when you listen, sometimes opening books, romance novels, like, wow, sometimes the film, some of the covers are pretty bad, right? You know, you guys know that Christian books, the number one kind of Christian books, you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say it's this.
Right.
But there's something that sells more than this. Okay? Some of us think, oh, it must be like Christian books like this. I used to think it must be systematic theology. I wonder if it's Wayne Grudem or John Frame. And I realized Anthony Chen, before he left for the Marines, he once said in our Bible study, said, oh, you know, those books are referenced. You don't read it through. And I cried because I read through the whole thing. I actually read finished systematic theology. It's not references, okay? I wake up every morning, my devotion, I always give the hardest part first, the systematic theology. Then through the day, I read lighter stuff from my heart because I give the best to God with my mind. So all the deep theology, I start first. But I bring that to say, if you, you know, I'm at this point now, I'm reviewing so much book on Amazon. I'm among the top 10,000, 9,000 reviewer. So that I'm at the point where I get people, publishers, fans say, hey, do you want to read this book? And you know the number one thing they try to send to me? It's filth. It's books with like guys with six packs, like eight packs. Like, come on, how many of the guys are like this, right? You feeling me, right? And then they're like, oh, you know, like blushing over guys and talking, just wasting time with that. But some of it's just filth. It's pornographic, okay? It's pornographic. Like, when you read it, it's like, man, there's no guy like this, okay? Listen, there's so few guys like Darcy, okay? Darcy, I just look at it, it's like, golly, like, you know? Like, you feeling me, right? You know? Like, if you think you're looking for a Darcy in this world, you're going to be a plain Jane forever if you go by the gospel according to Jane Austen, okay? You feeling me? Okay? So, going back on with this, okay? If you are going pursuing, that's also a sign that this is an idol, okay? And you never picture relationship. Another way you know this is an idol, where you idolize a relationship for relationship's sake, is you picture relationship only, you never picture the hard times. You never believe that hard times make you grow deeper in God. But rather, you always think relationship is about your happiness. And you also not only be about your happiness, you never think about personal sacrifice and personal pain. In marriage, you never think of that at all. Okay, so in terms of application, be careful, by the way, of not waking up until it's time. You know, I always preach about guarding your hearts. I preach that. People call me legalist. People have left our church and call me legalist and badmouth me to other TMS guy. Another TMS says, "Oh, maybe you're a legalist." You know what? You know, like, you know, go read your Bible. Okay, turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7.
Okay? Verse 7.
Yeah, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7. Am I good?
I assure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the steel, that you do not arouse or awaken myself until she is.
Okay? By the way,
my beloved, before he is coming, climbing on the mountain, sleeping on the hill.
Notice here, it says here, do not wake up love until it's time. Look with me in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4. Peter, would you be able to read chapter 8, verse 4 for me?
What is it?
Chapter 8, verse 4. Song of Solomon. So chapter 8, verse 4.
I want you to swear, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases.
Okay. So it repeats again, right? It's addressing the girls. Don't wake up love before it what, started, right? So that's one of the things where you guard your heart. Go ahead. No, I don't think so. Unless you have a sick mind. Mark Driscoll is a preacher. He's known as the cussing pastor. Well, you'll see where it takes him. He's no longer in ministry, okay? But anyways, going back on with that, if he once preached in Scotland, like he saw things where it's vaginas and everything else, okay? I don't think that Song of Solomon, actually, I don't know. If you read Song of Solomon, it's really covered. It's veiled beauty, okay?
Right.
It's veiled beauty. I think the most detail it ever gets. By the way, I think in the beginning of Song of Solomon, they were not married. they're interested in each other. She's saying like, oh, I miss him, I can't wait to see him, that kind of thing, okay? But towards the end, they do get married, right? Solomon actually came to the wedding too. My view is that Song of Solomon is actually a story about Solomon had a lot of women, yes? By the way, God made men to be for one woman, okay? We're designed for one woman. But this is a person that's pursuing 700, what? Concubines, 300 wives, or whatever, or something, a reversal of that, okay? But I think Song of Solomon is, Solomon wrote this book when a person actually rejected him. And then he was challenged. And then he saw a whole different light. Because it's not talking about himself. The girl's not adoring him because he doesn't work in the field, okay? He's not dark-skinned. He's not, what do you call it, someone like that. So I think this is what he's rejected. And he's challenged to think about love. But then he also attends her wedding, okay? Because there's a point where it's Song of Solomon, he shows up. But the most intimate is when they go on to honeymoon. And then it just goes off, and then that's it. But it doesn't give detail. It is not pornography, okay? Listen, this is not Kama Sutra. It is not, whatever you call that, Huya, what do you call that? Pagan, you know, thing from hell, right, okay? For the Hindus, okay? Yeah, from India, okay? I was surprised going to that part of the world, how there's be goddess, and I'll be asked, what is this about, you know? Like in the airport, I was like, hey, what is this magnet about? I was like, oh, this is the girlfriend of Shiva or whatever. I was like, huh? I was like, wow, that's kind of weird, okay? Yeah, his girlfriend, because he's not faithful anyways. I was like, wow, okay? And of course, people act like they're gods, right? Mm-hmm. We're the God of the Bible, or we're godly because of that, or pagans. Okay? But let's go back on. What's that? So I think the way to deal with that is realize, guard your heart. Secondly, study God's love. Say this after me. D-A? Carson. Okay? The way to cultivate instead of romanticizing relationship is study God's way of love. Mm-hmm. Why is me guys say D.A. Carson is he's written like 3 or 4 books on God's love. The book they like the most is one called The Difficult Doctrine of God's Love. God's love is one of those things that you can never domesticate. Because sometimes I think God's love means, oh, why won't everyone be saved? But I know that's not biblical.
Right.
But also I'm challenged sometimes, whoa, Christ really died and really suffered in this manner. And I'm so moved, like it's so deep.
Mm.
Okay? So, but the more you study God's love, the more it changes. The more you start loving like the way God loves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So instead of romanticizing relationship. Thirdly, be around those who are Christian in godly marriages. Who are transparent. Be around them so that it will remove your idols in your life, okay? Remove the idols of what? Of saying a romanticizing love, okay? And if possible, pursue being discipled by the couple or at least the one of the same gender as you in that relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality is it might be hard for Nancy and I, but I will definitely be what? Willing to pull a young man, and I have with different one of you guys with different times. With that, okay? To talk about, you know, marriage and things like that, okay? By the way, in our church, we also have what? If you're in a relationship, you get to be part of the exclusive once a month Friday Bible study. What is that called? What is that? Couples meeting, okay? Some guy's been dying to get in there. We used to have a brother. I don't want to say his name. The day he finally came in and he says, I arrived, Jimmy. I was like, what? we're glad you're here, you know. By the way, we also have what? Premarital counseling, okay? We go through a book with that, okay? I think our church's most intense Bible study is not Lighthouse. It's not even Sunday preaching. The most intense Bible study is that couples meeting, okay? I actually think I'm pretty nice to you guys, single guys. But in relationship stuff, I say a lot of mean things. Not because I'm mean. Sometimes it grieves me. I cry. I do, believe it or not. But I have to say the right thing about relationships. But if there's any Bible study that I've seen people grow the most, you know what Bible study? It's people and couples meeting, right? It could be, I meet with you guys as single guys and say, how are you guys doing? You could lie to me, right? You could have a crazy week of 50 hours pornography, of all kinds of gross, heinous sin, and I would never know. You could put up a front. But when people are married, they say, when I ask, how are you doing? The guy says, fine. The girl says, we're not doing good. They look at each other, right? They say, uh-oh, what's going on here? Yeah, let's go to my office, right? then we talk about it, right? By the way, it's also some of the most sanctifying, okay? It's sanctifying for me.
Mm-hmm.
We go around 360, okay? It's like 300, right? Guy is sitting there. And then sometimes he'll say, hey, you're also, we see this problem with you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's 360. It's not as if I'm immune with this, okay? It's one of the most intense Bible study, mm-hmm. but it also calls for maturity to you also as well. But I've seen people grow. Sadly, the sisters grow the fastest with this. But I've also seen guys with that, okay? So our church has many things. Even before relationship, guys, even before you enter a girl, it's okay to tell your pastor, okay? It's okay. I would love to be a part of that, okay? And by the way, even if you're single with no relationship, it's okay to say, hey, I feel lonely, or I'm thinking about this person, I don't know who it is. It's okay. It's part of life, okay? I'm challenged with this because we're so individualistic. But in every part of the world, Cambodia, everywhere else, it's like, they're all looking at me, what's wrong with you? How come you don't, like, hook up Eric or whatever else, you right? Like, what's wrong with you? But I realize, you know what? We are so individualistic in America. It is okay to talk about it. It's better to talk about it now than before you get in a tight spot, okay? With that. And by the way, it's okay to argue with this, okay? I won't take it personal. I've said a lot of things that guys have told me in couples meetings, Jimmy, you said this, you hurt me so much, and I'm so glad you said it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I ever said it. And they're no, you did say it because you gave the story. And I said, oh, yeah, I always say that story whenever I rebuke somebody with, or correct somebody with this. I said, oh, whoa, okay. You sure you didn't ask Victor about that story? I was like, no, it's you. You shared. Do you remember we ate this place? I said, yeah, I would definitely eat with that place with you, okay? But it's for your good, okay? In light of this, because it's 8 o'clock, we have many reasons. Next week we'll pick this up again, okay? I hope you guys were edified, okay? By the way, I say all this, I know I'm very passionate about this. If I step on your toes tonight, I wasn't thinking about you, like targeting you, okay? Mm. But it's because I love you, okay? Yeah. With this.
I got an observation.
Go ahead.